Noontime on Draft Day Thursday here on the Bill Riley Show on ESPN 700. We'll have our draft coverage tonight beginning at 5. I'll be back for that. Gordy Chiesa will be in studio with us, and we'll have a cast of others. Gunther Hackett and others will be checking in downtown with the Utah Jazz. Our next guest will be quite busy all day today. I'm just really pleased that he's been able to make a few minutes for us here in Salt Lake City on my show today. Chad Ford, NBA Draft Insider with ESPN and ESPN.com. It's kind of like Christmas Day for you, isn't it, Chad?
It is, Bill. It's my favorite day of the year. I'm probably one of the very few people that says, Christmas is great, Halloween's great, man, give me draft day every day.
And we're excited around here. The Jazz have a couple of first-round picks. We've got some guys with local ties who look like they'll be draft picks as well. Let's start with the Utah Jazz. I saw your latest mock this morning, and obviously the Jazz are in a spot where it's a lot more unpredictable at the end of the first round. They've got needs. They need some point guard stability. Obviously, the future of George Hill's unknown right now. Could probably use a stretch four, some backup size behind Rudy Gobert. I saw that you had Frank Jackson, the Lone Peak High School kid at 24, to the Utah Jazz. And then going a little further down, Tony Bradley, who's a phenomenal athlete, but maybe a bit of a project. Obviously, it's unknown, but are you looking at point guard and size for the Jazz right now?
Yeah, I think that's it. And I, you know, look, realistically, the Jazz are loaded, and getting a pick in the 24 to 30 range, you're really looking in most drafts at marginal rotation players here. Obviously, they got Rudy down there, and you can strike gold, but it's not typically the case that you're going to strike gold, especially in this draft where I just don't feel that – I feel all the strength of the draft is at the top of the draft, not lower down in the draft. And I think the Jazz are looking at a number of players in part because it's going to be really unpredictable. After you get past pick 14 – guys are all over different boards in different spaces, and trying to have a really accurate gauge of who's going to be there at 24 and 30, I think, is a difficult process for teams to figure out. They like a lot of guys. They like DJ Wilson. They like Kyle Kuzma. They like Tony Bradley, as I said before, Frank Jackson. There's a lot of different players that could work for them. But it's really unclear which of them will actually be on the board when they draft.
Let me ask you, let's say Dennis Lindsey and Quinn Snyder have a wild hair that they want to move up a little bit. What do you think would be the prospects, or how far could you go if you were, let's say you package 24 and 30 and maybe a future pick together? How far in this draft, because as you said, it's pretty lottery heavy, how far up do you think the Jazz might be able to get with just the draft picks?
Very, very hard to get into the lottery right now. Not with just draft picks. If they want to put Dante Exum in a deal or something like that, then of course I think that they could move up there. But just to give you at least a little bit of perspective, the Lakers shopped D'Angelo Russell to every team in the lottery, and every single team in the lottery said no.
Wow.
This was the number two pick in the draft 2 years ago, that gives you at least some feel of maybe how they felt about D'Angelo Russell, who, by the way, didn't actually have that bad a season this year. I actually thought he played really well in the second half of the season, but also just tells you how teams are valuing these lottery picks right now.
I've heard guys like yourself, the, you know, quote-unquote draft guys, say maybe there's not that big-time franchise guy, but there's a lot of really good guys, and the depth is good in this draft. This may not be the 2003 draft. That was an anomaly, but there's a depth of talent of guys that are going to play a long time. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, it is. I mean, maybe one or two guys. I think Lonzo Ball and Markelle Fultz both have that potential to hit that ceiling, a superstar. I actually think Jonathan Isaac might as well, though he's a much bigger risk, reward type player. And maybe actually Harry Giles, a guy who has slid because he tore two ACLs but was the number one ranked high school player before he got injured, and I still think has a lot of talent there. But none of them are sure things. There's no LeBron Jameses in this draft. There's no Kevin Durants in this draft. All of these guys, I think, have all-star potential. A couple of them, the ceiling might be a little bit higher. Markel Fultz, I think, is going to be terrific, a terrific fit in Philadelphia. He's landing on exactly the right team for him. I think Lonzo Ball is going to be a terrific fit in L.A. I think he's landing on the perfect team for him. And that's so much part of it, right, is finding the right coach, the right system, the right opportunity for these players. Get drafted by the wrong team, wrong coach, wrong system, and you wash out of the league. Get the right situation, and you can be like Draymond Green and go in the second round and be an all-star.
My least favorite narrative over the last week and a half, and you can tell guys, Chad, that watched college basketball this year and guys that didn't watch college basketball, and maybe I'm fortunate because I broadcast to the Pac-12, but they were like, well, Markel Fultz, his team won 9 games. Well, do a little homework. Markel Fultz missed about the last month and a half of the season. Now, Washington wasn't great, certainly, and he also had DeJounte Murray and Marquise Chris, who left a year early. But with that being said, they probably – I don't know that them winning just 9 games is any real indictment on Markel Fultz, because when you talk to people around the Pac-12 conference, this kid was not only a scorer, but he was a tremendous passer and rebounder as well. So I haven't liked the narrative I've heard from a lot of talking heads who don't really follow much college basketball or draft.
Oh, it's ridiculous. I just said, let's do this thought exercise. Markel Fultz played for UCLA. Or Markel Fultz played for Kentucky. You think he wins 9 games?
Nope.
He might be in the Final Four if he plays for Kentucky. And De'Aaron Fox, who everybody is so excited about and loves right now, put him on Washington. Do you think De'Aaron Fox wins 15-20 games for them? I don't think so. We're so used to these elite prospects picking great teams with other potential pros, other McDonald's All-Americans on them. That's what we're so used to, that when we see a player like Fultz playing on a team without that talent around him, we don't really know what to do about it. And I just think it's unfair for him. He was an 18-year-old guard where every team in the Pac-12 could game plan for him and no one else every night. And I still think he did a phenomenal job.
Chad Ford, we're lucky to have him on draft day here on the Bill Riley Show. Away from the Jazz to guys with local ties. Kyle Kuzma made as big a jump as I've seen anybody make on a mock draft board. Your latest mock this morning had him into the first round. I mentioned Larry Kraskowiak was on my show yesterday, and he said, I think Kyle's going to go at the end of the first round. And he says, but I can't tell you why. Did you get some information overnight, or what moved him up on your draft board so far, Chad?
Yeah, exactly. You just start finding out that several teams in the 20s have him pretty high on their board right now. And, that's a process of, especially for me, I'm just trying to figure out the first half of the draft and trying to figure out who's going where. And it's really not until the last 48 hours that I can really start paying deep attention to what's happening in the second half of the draft, in part because you got to have to understand what's happening in the first half of the draft as well. And it just became clear to me in my phone calls last night with teams that he had been, he had moved into one of the 2 or 3 guys that several teams are looking at late in the first, and that was enough to justify moving him up there in the mock. I think he's got the Lakers that are taking a look. He's got the Jazz that are taking a look at him as well. The Spurs like him as well. If you have 3 teams that are looking at you in the first round, chances are one of those teams bites.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, just from a program image perspective, what's it say about what Larry's been able to do, that this will be 3 straight years that he'll likely, if Kuzma goes in the first round, had a first-round draft pick?
Sorry, I lost you there. What was that?
No, I was going to say, what does it say about where Larry's brought the program if this makes 3 straight years that he has a first-rounder go?
Oh, he's done a phenomenal job. And Pirtle was a really terrific prospect as well. And look, I didn't see Kuzma as a first-round pick this year. I'm just be honest. When I watched him, I didn't see that sort of player there. I was much more impressed with him at the combine. I thought he did a great job. I think the fact that he shot the ball so well at the combine really helped him. And, he's just one of those players that's gone into workouts and suddenly, he gets that second look against the other top prospects, and people walk away and say, you know what, I think this guy can make it in the league. And I think that a lot of that goes back to the Utah program and how they developed him.
So you mentioned Frank Jackson already, Lone Peak High School, likely a first-round guy. Maybe he's on. You've got him to the Jazz in the mock. And then Caleb Swanigan didn't go to high school here, but he lived here for a number of years. They call him Biggie. He slimmed down just a little bit. Sounds like you like Swanigan pretty well, too.
Yeah, you know, Swanigan is a guy who's a little bit more polarizing because he's certainly skilled. In fact, I think he's one of the more skilled big men in this entire draft. It's all going to be about conditioning with him. He got in great shape this year. That has impressed NBA teams. Will he stay in great shape? That is always a big question mark, and he certainly has the body type that can gain a lot of weight and gain it quickly, and that's always something that teams are going to worry about. Frank Jackson, the word around the league right now is that he's got a promise somewhere in the first round. He was completely shut down, and I know he had foot surgery, but there's more to it than that. And teams talking about just the unavailability of information about him, the unavailability to talk to him or to really interact with him, all points to a team probably having shut him down somewhere in the first round and telling him, don't work out, don't talk to anybody, and we want to draft you at this position. And his agent and him looking at that and saying, hey, we're comfortable going there, so that sounds great. So I think Frank Jackson's going to surprise. I think he's going to end up in the first round. I haven't gone to the Jazz at 24. I'm not sure that the Jazz are the team that promised him. Actually, that's not their style. They typically are not a team that does that. But there's several teams in the 20s that I think like him as well. And just trying to figure out where he goes, I don't know. But I think he's going to go somewhere between 20 and 30 on draft night.
Be interesting to see if the Jazz grab him. Give me your prospect, Chad, right now that's got the greatest range from ceiling to basement. He could be a top 10 pick. He could be down at the end of the first. Do you have one of those guys that's got a big – that you're just looking at going, I have no idea. He might be a lottery. He might be in the second round.
Harry Giles is the guy that really, to me, is hard to pencil in right now. He's such an elite talent. He was the number one high school prospect at the start of his senior year before he tore his ACL. He didn't look good at all at Duke, but he was still recovering from that ACL tear. He's been terrific in workouts, and his explosiveness is coming back. The medicals on him, doctors have cleared him, but you know, when you've torn two ACLs and then had another knee surgery on top of that, teams are always leery about the risk-reward factor for him. If he went 10 to the Kings, that wouldn't surprise me, and I actually think his talent is worthy of that pick. If he went into the 20s, that wouldn't surprise me either, and teams just got a little bit scared about the knees and felt like they couldn't take the risk. But me personally, I think this guy's the sleeper in the draft, and I think any pick after 10, you're justified in the reward over the risk for Harry Giles.
We always hear the buzz, this is being shopped, that is being shopped. When it comes down to brass tacks, as we move through the afternoon and toward 5 and 6 o'clock Mountain Time tonight, how much actually movement do you think we'll get tonight, Chad?
I think we're going to get some. There's so much trade talk right now going on, and there's so many teams, and even in the top 10, that are shuffling around. I think we're going to get some, and I especially think that, you know, the Paul George situation could get resolved tonight. I think it makes sense for the Pacers to try to get some draft picks on it, and they certainly want to select those picks and not have another team select them for them. I think the Jimmy Butler situation probably gets resolved tonight as well. I think the writing's on the wall for the Bulls that look at what happened with Paul George. They don't want the same situation to happen with them and have a player come in the last year of his contract and say, hey, I'm leaving. I think those two situations get resolved tonight. And I actually think the Porzingis situation is going to get resolved tonight. When Charlie Rosen, Phil Jackson's, I don't know, personal scribe goes out and does a hit piece on Kristaps Porzingis the day before the draft, I'm just not sure how you bring him back. After everything that's happened in the last 48 hours, I don't know how you bring him back to the Knicks. So I think something probably gets done there as well.
And it looks like Fultz and Ball are the two done deals, but it sounds like, as I'm just, again, reading stories and Twitter and all the different, it sounds like maybe the most hotly sought-after prospect that's not a given yet is Josh Jackson.
Yeah, Josh Jackson. Like, I love Josh Jackson. I'm crazy about him. He's such a fierce competitor, such a great athlete, a terrific defender. Has great court vision. His jump shot scares me, and I think it should, especially when you look at his free throw shooting. But he's such a hard worker. I think he's going to figure it out. I do think he's the guy that some teams believe is maybe the best prospect in this draft. And by the way, there's a few that think Jason Tatum is the best prospect in this draft as well. And there's a few that think Jonathan Isaac's going to be the best prospect in 5 years in this draft. And there's a few that think De'Aaron Fox is the best point guard there. This is a deep draft. This isn't just confusion. This is good choices and trying to make decisions between multiple good choices. Sometimes those are the hardest decisions to make, are the ones between, it's easy to make a decision between a good choice and a bad choice. Harder to make one between two good ones.
He'll be busy all day today on all the ESPN platforms. We're lucky to have him here in Salt Lake City. It's always good to catch up with Chad Ford. Chad, thanks so much. Enjoy the day today.
All right, take care.
That's Chad Ford with us here on the Bill Riley Show. More ahead here on Utah's number one sports talk. Jody Genesee coming up with the latest on the Jazz next here on ESPN 700.